generally speaking, when we try to approach one of the letters of the alphabet, so our first move is to try to attempt to locate if perhaps we could find the word that that letter embodies. For example, the word Aleph, which means wisdom, or means Aluf, means the chief. Beis means Tobias. Gamal means camel, or to be Gomel, Chesed, etc. When it comes to the letter Mem, normally we're pretty successful. When it comes to the letter Mem, though, there isn't really a Hebrew word, Mem. And on the surface, it seems like we would not be successful at locating the word Mem. However, with a little bit of ingenuity and with an introduction of something which we're all familiar with, which is that if you want to take a Hebrew word and you want to make it plural, so for example, we have some lovely apples on the table, thanks to Gvert Gost. And if we want to talk about the plurality of apples, so we would say, instead of saying that there is a tapuach al ha-shulchan, we would say that there are tapuchim. We add a yud mem to make something plural. And with that introduction, we are perhaps surprised, pleasantly, to find that in the very beginning of the Torah, we're actually met with the word mem. Just, we find it in its plural form instead of in its singular. The Torah begins, Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aretz. In the beginning of Hashem's creating the heaven and the earth, va'aretz ha'isa tov va'avol v'choshech al pnei tahom v'ruach elokim merachefes al pnei ha-mayim. And it turns out that the word mem actually doesn't appear in the Torah, but the word mayim means mems. Mem, in plural, is mayim. Mem, yod, mem. And this is not just a cute idea, but in fact, the Sefer HaBahir, which is one of the earliest Kabbalistic Sfarim, perhaps the earliest Kabbalistic Sefer that we have in our tradition, is something called the Sefer Yetzira, which is Miyuchas, goes back all the way to the time, perhaps of Adam HaRishon, maybe of Avraham Avinu. We have different traditions about who exactly wrote the Sefer Yetzira. The Sefer HaBahir is also a very, very old Sefer, older even than the Zohar, and is attributed to none other than Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. Rav Nechunya ben Hakana is most famous probably as the author of Anu B'Koach, the Tefillah Anu B'Koach, which we recite after several mitzvos, we recite during Kabbalah Shabbos, was authored by the great Kabbalist Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. And the Sefer HaBahir as well was written by Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, and he writes, "My mem, what is mem?" So here it's Al Tikra Mem Elamayim. The word mem, in fact, is not a word, but in its plural form, or in its true form, the word mayim just means multiple mems, many mems. An ocean is just, if a person were to have a spiritual microscope, or perhaps even a powerful enough physical microscope, we would see that the ocean is just filled with mems. And the Bahir continues with something which will need explanation, and that's hopefully what we'll explain this evening. Al tikra mem elamayim. Ma hamayim halalu lachim. Just like water is wet, water contains the property, the physical property of being wet. Af habeten lach la'olam. So too, the stomach, or probably more specifically, the womb, the place of birth, is always wet. And then he continues, I'm going to read this even though we're not going to explain every aspect of the Bahir. Again, the Bahir is one of the oldest Kabbalah Sfarim. It's not something we study casually. But since we already started, let's just finish what he says. V'lama mem p'chusa kalula mizachar unekeva ustuma zachar. So that's a typo. So we say v'lama mem pesucha kalula mizachar unekeva ustuma zachar. Why is the open mem? Why does the open mem have aspects which are feminine and aspects which are masculine, whereas the closed mem, which is on the left of the picture of the two mems, is completely masculine in form? Again, I'm not going to explain what this means tonight. L'lamdecha she'ikra mem hu zachar v'hosifa psucha l'shem nekeva. That in fact, what is different between the closed mem, the mem sofit, what we refer to as the mem sofit, and the mem hapsucha, is that the mem psucha has an aspect of femininity. And that the mem, and this we will explain Yiras Hashem tonight, if you actually begin to meditate on the letters, which is something that we often try to do here in the shir, to try to look at the letter and the shape of the letter and to see something fascinating, the letter mem, with the little psucha, with the little opening, is actually shaped like a womb and a birth canal. The mem stuma does not open, and therefore is completely masculine. It has no quality of being able to create in the way that a woman can. Whereas the mem psucha has an opening which very much mirrors this concept of birth, and that's exactly what the Bahir says. Very mysterious. Yiras Hashem will try to understand what that means, and once we understand what that means, then we could try to apply it to our Yiras Hashem. If the letter mem is somehow connected to water, and mayim means a plurality of mems, so it would make sense for us to try to understand the mystery of water. What is water from a Torah perspective? And I'll add that if the mem has to do with birth, everybody knows that the act of birth is preceded by something which we refer to as the breaking of the water, which is actually the embryonic fluid, and that a baby's experience as it is being formed, shaped, elaborated upon inside of the cocoon of the mother actually lives in this water world, in this world of mems. When the Torah speaks about water, we don't have to go, as I said before, much further than the very first chapter of the Torah, which speaks exhaustively about water. It speaks about water before the creation, it speaks about water during the creation. This water that's referred to in the second pasuk in the Torah, the Veruach Elokim Rachefes al Pnei Hamayim, is a little bit startling when you think about the fact that water wasn't really created till later in creation. We find this several places, we've spoken about this before, we find this several places in creation where there seems to be a pre-creation almost. Like, for example, on the first day, Vayihi Or, when there was no sun yet. How could there be a Vayihi Or if there's no source of light? So we've spoken about that before. And similarly, how could the Ruach Elokim be Mirachefes al Pnei Hamayim if there's no water yet? And the answer is that much like the light which was created on day one, which we explained is not actual physical light, is the Or HaGanos, is this spiritual light, has nothing. It's called light because it borrows from the properties of light, just like light allows us to see what's on the table and use it. The Or HaGanos allowed us to see what something was at its spiritual core. And similarly, water here is not talking about tangible physical water, but is trying to bring us back to that pre-birth state, like when a child is surrounded by water. The water there is talking about a womb of creation of sorts. It's the world before the world is born. It's the world in utero. And about this state of water, this water world which we all pass through to get into this dry land where we now live, about that water world of Hirsch writes, Shem Shurfal Hirsch, all formation of matter occurs in fluid conditions, production and reproduction, all molding to shape and form struggles to firmness, dryness, and rigidity. Matter germinates in fluid, yet attains form and shape in solid. What Rav Hirsch is saying here is that when, if you think about it, all processes the more rigid, the more firm something is, the less creative it is, the more static it is. Now that's necessary. You don't want the building that you live in to be fluid. But when you speak about fluidity, we even use the word fluidity sometimes to describe somebody who's creative, right? Someone who's kind of in the process of creating themselves, or as a creative person we describe as fluid or flowy. Because fluidity is the precondition to creativity. Reproduction takes place through fluid. Molding and shape equals, in Rav Hirsch's understanding, equals not only dryness, but equals rigidity, equals the inability to change. In fact, if you think about it, the Maharal speaks about this at length. If I were to take this pitcher of water, which now is the shape of this pitcher of water, and I wanted to change it, it would be very easy. All I have to do is pour it into this cup, and then it'll take on the shape of the cup. And then I could pour it into a bowl, it'll take on the shape of the bowl. Put it into a spoon, it'll take on the shape of a spoon. Water is fluid. It's very easy to change. It's transitional. I can't do the same with an apple. I could put the apple in that bowl, and I put it on a plate, and it's going to look the same. It's not going to change shape. In the Maharal's language, the apple contains a tzura, it has a shape. Whereas water is chomer, it's moldable, it's malleable, it's fluid. Mayim, water, specifically, which is the king of all liquids in the Torah, Mayim is the is the element of change. In Rav Hirsch's words, matter germinates in fluid. And therefore, since water is the element of change, we shouldn't be surprised to find that water is used as a symbol or as a mushal of someone who is quick to change, quick to act. Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. For example, when Yaakov Avinu is blessing each of the Shvatim, he has a word to share with Reuven. He has to settle the score. Chas v'shalom, not the way that we settle the score, talking about Yaakov Avinu and Reuven. But Yaakov Avinu, for the sake of the eternal good of Klal Yisrael, points out to Reuven, Reuven, b'chori ata, kochi gracious, oni yeser se'es v'yeser az. Reuven, you are my firstborn, endowed with the most strength, with the greatest bravery, with the greatest strength. Pachas kamayim. What's pachas kamayim mean? Pachas kamayim means you were impetuous. You were too quick to act. You jumped. You were very quick to change. What is he referring to? He's referring to the episode when Reuven takes the bed of his father Yaakov out of one of the Imahos' tents and brings it to Leah's tent because he feels that his mother's honor has been slighted. He makes a change in the living quarters of Yaakov Avinu without really thinking through first whether it was a good idea. Much in the same way that water very easily is moved to change from one shape to the other, pachas kamayim means a person who acts quickly without thinking, in this case for a negative, and the example or the mushal which is used by Yaakov Avinu is kimayim, just like water. Just like water is the source, is the element of change, so too you are very quick to make a change. As is explained by the Netziv in source number 5. That water is fluid, water is easily malleable, it's easily put from one place to another. The Netziv writes that if I take, unlike other liquids, for example, I don't know if you ever tried to clean out a a Shabbos candle of its oil, right? Or even a pot of its oil. So you could pour out the oil, but it's not. If you pour out a cup of water, almost every drop will come out. It's very easily slides off of whatever it's on. When it comes to other liquids, they cling to their surroundings because they are less apt to change. Water is the ultimate example of change. It's very quick to move from one place to the next. And if mem is not a word, but mayim is multiple mems, then we would expect to find that the letter mem shares this property with water. Rav Ari Kaplan, if you've never read this book, it's a must read. He has a book on the mikvah, the experience of going to a mikvah. And it's absolutely amazing. It's called Waters of Eden. It's one of the smaller books. All of his books are amazing. It will literally change your understanding of what water is in the world. It will change your understanding of what the mitzvah of mikvah is. And it's a must read. Rav Ari Kaplan writes that the letter mem, and I quote, the letter mem has a most interesting property. Aleph, the first letter of the alphabet of the alphabet, represents the beginning. Taf, the last letter, represents the end. Mem is the letter that represents transition, which we would expect if mem is linked to water. It's the transitional, changing letter. We see this most clearly in the word emes itself. The first two letters, this is a remarkable teaching, which I didn't find in any other sefer, and he didn't quote in a footnote from any other sefer, so I assume it's his own. The first two letters, Aleph Mem, spell out Aim, the Hebrew word for mother. This is the beginning of man. The last two letters, Mem Tuf, spell out Mes, the Hebrew word for death, the end of man. Most important here, Mem represents the concept of transition and change. Aleph is the past, Tuf is the future. So Mem represents the transition from past to future. As such, it is the instant that we call the present. The past is history and cannot be changed. We have no way of even touching the future because it's not here yet. Therefore, the arena of action where all change takes place is the present. In the history of our lives, which is Emes, the seal of the master of the universe, as Chazal tell us that Hashem's Chosein is called Emes. Hashem, who is the HaYehovah V'yeh, the was, the is, and the will be, the sum total of all creation, his seal is Emes. Aleph means what happened, Tuf means what's going to be, Mem means the active present, the area, the arena of change, the place of transition. And therefore Mem, which is linked to Mayim, which means multiple Mems, Mayim shares that quality of not only quick to change, but necessary in any element of change or creation, of transition. Therefore, we find that whenever Hashem wants to bring about a cataclysmic change to the world, we find water as the centerpiece, and we find that that water is somehow linked to the number 40, which is the gematria of the word mem. Take, for example, that Hashem creates the world, and you know, you guys probably don't know, but it's more of a boy thing, probably. It's certainly not something that I've done in the past while, but you know, you're a little kid, you're playing like a video game, and like, you messed up right away in the beginning. It's like, you've like lost, you know, let's say you have like 5 lives, and you lost 2 right away, too quickly. You like, didn't even get past the first board. So what do? Sorry. Press the reset button. Gotta press the reset button. Right? There's even a little button, I remember, when we got a Nintendo. First Nintendo. So there's the power button, but then there's also the reset button. Like, so you shouldn't have to press the power button twice. Just press reset, like start over. I messed everything up. So, chas v'shalom, we don't mean that Hashem messed everything up. It's to teach us something also. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and things were not going so smoothly, Hashem presses the reset button. How do we press the reset button? How do we move to change the world, to uproot cataclysmically, to uproot and change the world? So Hashem brings a mabul mayim on the world. Vayia mabul arba'im yom. And the mabul was for 40 days al arz vayibu hamayim. The element of change came and suffused the world. Vayisva sateva vatara me'al ha'aretz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want to start over. Let me inundate the world with the element of change. With mem, 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 mem for 40 days. And we'll have ourselves a new world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to again change the world, to create a special, unique nation which would serve as the embodiment of what we refer to as the Shechina, Hashem's presence in this world, Knesset Yisrael, the sum total of the Jewish people, are called Knesset Yisrael, are called the Shechina. We are Hashem's messengers, we are Hashem's lawyers, we are Hashem's representatives in the world. And therefore we find that when Hashem wanted to do that, Vayavo Moshe B'soch Ha'anan, Moshe goes up into a cloud which is made up of water vapor, Vayal Alahar, Vayhi Moshe Bahar Arbaim Yomvar Arbaim Laila, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes up into that place for 40 days and 40 nights and surrounds himself in the water vapor of the cloud. And not only that, but listen to this astounding Gemara, which now makes a lot more sense. Chazal tell us, Kishinit na Torah li Yisrael, and the Torah was given to the Jewish people. Hayikol holich misof olam ve'ad sof v'kol malachei ovdei kochavim, achzasan ra'ada beheichaleihen. All of the kings of all the nations of the world were caught, were seized with tremors in their palace, in their palaces. Va'amru shira, and they were brought to a state of song. Shenemar v'heichalo kulo merchavot. Everybody was speaking of the kavod of Hashem at the moment of Har Sinai. But listen to this. Niskav tzu kulam etzal Bilam HaRasha. They all came to the prophet of the nations of the world, Bilam HaRasha. And they said to him, Ma kol ha-hamon asher shamanu? What is this great earth-shattering sound that we hear? Shemo mabul bala olam? Maybe a flood is coming to the world again? After all, it seems like there is some upheaval. The world is changing in some dramatic way. The whole, everything looks different. Everything seems different now. The Torah is coming to the world. The purpose of creation is being introduced. Maybe a mabul is going to come again. We're going to be inundated with these mems, just like Hashem wanted to bring a change. It's a very strange thing. They're afraid a mabul is going to come. Why did they look to a mabul? Because whether they understood it, or their subconscious understood it, or some spiritual force within them understood it, or what Chazal are trying to bring across to us, is that they understood that if Hashem is bringing about this great change, it has to come out through water. And therefore, this great change which comes about through water does actually come about through water. Ein mayim ela Torah. In source number 17, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, it appears in Sotah as well, in many other places. Ein mayim ela Torah. Shenemar havei kol tzama lechul amayim. All thirsty should go to drink. A reference to drinking of the spirituality of Torah. Those who are thirsty for God should go and drink from the spirituality of Torah. So they weren't so far off. Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin has many essays about this, about how the mabul that took place in the time of Noah could actually have been a Matan Torah experience, but they weren't worthy. And therefore, the Matan Torah experience could have been a mabul, but we were worthy. We got the Torah, which is Ein Mayim El Torah. What we see, however, is that all transitional periods take place in the context of water, in the context of 40. That's the narrative of change, that's the narrative of transition. I'll give you one more. When the Jewish people wanted to change, to transform from being a people of a group of slaves to being an Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nation, so two things had to happen. Number one, they had to go through the Yam Suf. There had to be a Kriyas Yam Suf. The water had to split. There had to be this passing through water. And they had to travel in the Midbar for 40 years. Again, the number 40. And that 40-year sojourn in the desert is highlighted the entire way, the entire process. When we enter into the desert, immediately we have the story of Marah and the sweetening of the water. Moshe Rabbeinu has to hit the rock, and that's where the water comes from. We have the well of Miriam, which follows us throughout the entire process in the Midbar. Finally, we cross through the Yarden at the end. The entire bookend of the Midbar experience, which is this almost womb for the Jewish people to, surrounded by clouds again, vapor clouds. All of those things bespeak the fact that the Jewish people are undergoing a dramatic change. From being a group of rowdy upstart nation that leaves the superpower of the world, Egypt, to being an Or LaGoyim, an unstoppable spiritual force, which will serve as the embodiment of Hashem's presence in this world. So we said that the letter Mem is not only Mayim, but is specifically the embryonic fluid, is this process of birth. The Mem is the womb and the birth canal. I don't want to get sidetracked with the halacha right now. It's important halacha, but briefly, the Gemara in Yevamos speaks about a Bas Kohen who marries a Yisrael. A Bas Kohen who marries a non-Kohen no longer is eligible to eat Truma. Because when she was in her father's house, she could eat Truma. Now that she is no longer in her father's house, she is considered the wife of Yisrael. She's not the daughter of a Kohen. However, if her husband dies and she does not have any children with him, she reverts back to her father's home, she can begin eating Truma again. The halacha is that if a woman marries a man, a Bas Kohen marries Yisrael, and then tragically he passes away immediately after marrying her, so the Gemara says in Yevamos, she can go back to eating Truma right away. With one qualification. Says Rav Chista, Amar Rav Chista, Toveles Vocheles Ad Arboin. She can go to the mikvah and then become renewed to her status of being able to eat Truma for up to 40 days. Why? De'ilo Mavra Halomavra. Because if she is not, if when they got married, in the consummation of their marriage, if she did not become pregnant, so then she's not pregnant, and then she doesn't have any children from this person, she goes back to her father's home, so she can certainly eat Truma. And if she is pregnant, so for the first 40 days, the child is merely Maya Ba'alma. The first 40 days, there is a major difference between the first 40 days and after day 40 when it comes to how we treat the unborn child. From conception, for the first 40 days, Chazal referred to this forming child as Maya Ba'al. It's just water. It's just water. It's not really a person yet. It's Maya Ba'al. After 40 days, the child becomes a child. Medically speaking, after 40 days, that's when the heartbeat can begin, brainwaves can be detected, the heartbeats can be heard for the first time. And at that point, the child is no longer Maya Ba'alma, but becomes a Vlad. A Vlad means a fetus. Incidentally, the word Vlad in Hebrew is Vav Lamed Dalid. Vav Lamed Dalid is also 40. Which is the Vlad is created on day 40. So this process of formation of the Vlad, who lives in this water world, who starts in water and lives surrounded by this water world for the first 40 days, and then becomes a Vlad, which is a Mem, right? Vlad is 40, like Mem. This process is something which could be traced not only to the act of our first birth, but now we move from the realm of, wow, that's pretty amazing about the letter Mem, to, well, what does this mean for us? How do we serve Hashem with this information? So there are two ways that we could serve Hashem with this information. One way, practically speaking, it could be that not everybody at the table is at this place yet, but it's still good to know. And that is based on a passage from the Reishis Chachma. The Reishis Chachma writes, "Knisas ha'adam b'mikvah, shehi mem mirubas." The entering of a person into a mikvah, which is a square mem. Again, he's speaking Kabbalistically here. Ima d'revia albanin. A mother that rests over its children. Ha'adam be'achnasa ha'mikvah, when a person goes into a mikvah, hu kidei li'chalel u'lachzor ha'neshama ha'paguma ve'ivarim ha'paguma mimakom shiyatzu, a person returns himself or herself back into that place where they were originally formed, back into that water world, and the neshama returns from its damaged state, or the limbs, which are tummy, return from their damaged state. It's like returning back into the womb of the mother and hiding within that fluid, that element of change. As it says in Eov, Yishmarini al havla. It's Chazal Darshan, this pasuk. Like the days that Hashem guarded me from my youth is referring to the Vlad who's in his mother's stomach. Ubitziyasa adam el mikvah. When a person comes out of that place of the mikvah, hari niskanu evarov v'nishmaso harehu chadash ve'im l'chitzonim chelek. She's like a brand new person. V'yargish adam ba'atzmo ruach chadasha. A person feels within themselves a brand new experience. A new life has been put into them. From the neshama which returns into the person at that moment. When a person goes back into that water world, when a person goes into the world of the mikvah, that element of change works magic on them, and after removing themselves from the place of dry land and going back into the place, the beten ha'em, submerging themselves in the mem, which we said is the womb of the mother. It's like going back to the place of our own birth, but it's more than that. The Sefer Achinuch writes that when a person goes to the mikvah, you're not just returning to your own experience of being before you were born, but actually, as he writes, v'tam hamayim sheitaru kol tame. The reason that water is the element which purifies all impure things, all impure people, all impure things. Achshov al tzara pashad, I'll tell you the most simple explanation. Ki inyan hu ki kidei sheyira adam es atzmo achara tefila ki ilu nivra ba'oso shah. So that the person or the object is seen as if it was created at that very moment. Kemo shahaya olam kula mayim terma yosu ba'adam. Not only are we going back into our own pre-birth state of being surrounded by water, but we're going back into a state before the world was created, when the world was surrounded by water. V'ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei hamayim, before Hashem created anything. We pull ourselves back to that initial stage when there was no Adam eating from the Eitz HaDaas yet, there was no Chav eating from the Eitz HaDaas yet, Hashem didn't destroy the world yet with Noach, we didn't make a single mistake, no thought, word, or action was ever uttered or thought or done against Hashem. And how does that happen? It happens when a person removes themselves from any possibility of living for a moment. When a person is moser nefesh. Now, obviously, Hashem doesn't want us to actually give up our lives. Instead, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us, what we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we go to a mikvah, and I'll explain this further in one moment, how this could become even more practical. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expecting of us is that in that moment when the head goes underneath the water, and we cease to be able to breathe for a moment, it's almost as if we're on this like time continuum of being in the world, and as we dip ourselves completely underneath the water, we enter into a space which is not capable of supporting human life. As the Shem Yishmuel puts it from his father, the Avnei Nezer, in source number 13, Kvod Kadsho Avi Adoni Virabi Amori Virabi. That's a lot of abbreviations. My honorable father, my teacher, my master, who should merit life in the world to come. Pirish, ki gvulos chalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created boundaries, borders for his world. Bruim shem bayam, the things which Hashem created in the ocean. Kevan shem olam layabashem yad mesim. When they go up onto dry land, they die. A fish cannot be sustained by dry land. Similarly, animals that live on dry land, if they go underwater, they will suffocate, they'll drown. Therefore, somebody who goes underneath the water, someone who submerges themselves in a world of mems, he's like almost taking his own life in his hands for a moment. And in that moment when he submerges himself, when she submerges herself under the water, when they come back up, it's like a new life. Because it's impossible to support life underneath the water if you're a human being. And that's why you become Tahor. I'm not the same person with the same life force that I had before. I gave up my life force. I sacrificed that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now I come up with a new life force which isn't subject to that Tumah that I had before. The Kach Kasav Gvulos Chalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo'olam, Hashem created borders, boundaries in his world. Elyonim lamala tachtonim lamata lefi zeh. Hashav b'tshuva shenidvak v'akadosh baruch lamala. Hari nifred me'achius shehaisel mikvar v'shoyev chayim chadashim. In kein nitar me'avonosef hakadmonim ad kan dvarav. He says similarly, a person can remove themselves from this world by clinging to Hashem above. That's also not the place of this world. That's also not the place of a human being. And in that way, a person can also come to become a brand new person. There's a beautiful remez to this idea. One more beautiful remez to this idea, and then I'll tie it back into how we can do this maybe in a more practical way. Because with the exception of the one giving the shir, I don't think most of us go to the mikvah on such a regular basis. Some men go every single day, some men go once a week, some men go several times a week, whatever, different things. But it's not so common we go to the mikvah. On the other hand, there is something else, but first a remez, a beautiful remez. You know, we say in Shema, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha v'chol lo'avcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol mi'adecha. The goal is to love Hashem with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our means. Yeah, that's a good translation. Meaning our talents, our money, financially, emotionally, physically, to give everything for Hashem. In source number 15, the Gemara in Brachos, Darshans, what does it mean, b'chol nafshecha, in italics? Second line, u'b'chol nafshecha afilu hu notel es nafshecha. You know what it means to serve God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, sorry? It means even if He takes your soul, even if it means self-sacrifice completely. Comes along the Sar Shalom of Bells, the first Bells Rebbe, and he writes a beautiful remez. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha v'chol nafshecha, hine yadu asher nefesh hu tov ba'atbash. He says it's brought down in many svarim that nefesh, the word nefesh, and the word tov are ba'atbash interchangeable. Nefesh and tov, right? You know how atbash works? No? Right. At, bash, and then gar, right? It goes like that, going in and in. So the word tov and nefesh are, if you take the letters nun, pei, and shin, so they translate into nun becomes tes, that's the opposite extreme, pei becomes vav, meaning vav is the sixth to last letter of the alphabet, and shin is the second to last letter, so it becomes bez, which is the second letter. So tov is nefesh. Okay. Umemela demilas nafshecha, he says, if that's true, then you know what the word nafshecha is in atbash? Nafshecha atbash is tovel. How can a person give up their soul without actually giving up their soul? How can a person start over without actually having to come back as a Gilgul because you took your own life, Chas V'Shalom? So the Sar Shalom says when a person goes to the mikveh, when a person tovels in the med, when a person submerges himself or herself in a body of water, what happens is that a person becomes brand new. A person starts over. They give up nafshecha through the act of tevila and they start over again. But as I said before, this is not such a common occurrence for all of us. Something which is much more common, even for myself, more common than even going to the mikvah, is an experience of tefillah that we do on a daily basis. The experience of tefillah that we do on a daily basis takes us back to what we said before, in mayim ela Torah. There is no water but Torah. In fact, the Torah Sheba'al Peh begins, the first Mishnah in all of Shas begins, Me'emasai Korin es Hashema Ba'arvis. Me'emasai, with the letter Mem. The last phrase in all of Shas is Hashem Yivarech es Amo Basha Lom, and ends with the letter Mem. Shas begins with Mem and ends with Mem. The Rambam's Mishnah Torah begins with the letter Mem and ends with the letter Mem, on purpose. It's a parallel Shas. Why is that? Because when a person submerges himself in the sea of Torah, isn't that what it's referred to? We had this a few weeks ago in the Shir. When a person submerges themselves in the sea of Torah, the Yam HaTalmud. Why is the Torah called the Yam HaTalmud? Because in my Mel Torah. But also because it is a transformative experience. Talmud Torah is not just a cerebral experience. Talmud Torah is a transformative experience. It's an experience that when I submerge myself in the world of these mems, I turn myself into a Vlad once more. I turn myself into a almost pre-utero, but certainly in-utero experience of the Vlad. When I submerge myself in the sea of Talmud, in the sea of Talmud Torah, I'm allowing myself to regain the innocence, the purity that I started with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to drown the world in a marble. We don't need to surround ourselves in ethereal clouds of the Anane Akavod. That was for a time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through preparation and through the self-sacrifice of all of our ancestors throughout the ages to pass on the Mesorah to us, because of all of that, we have an amazing weapon which acts as a mikvah, as a purification. Just like a mikvah, the Mishnah says, is mataris atameim, afakadosh baruch is mataris Yisrael. And where does a Jew meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than in the study of Torah? Like the Ramban writes that the Torah is just the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are contracted into different forms. The Ramban writes in his famous Hakdama al Torah, he says that the words Bereishis Bara Elokim Yisrael Shemayim Yisrael until the words Le'enei Kol Yisrael is just different constricted and twisted forms of Hashem's name. Because the Torah is called Mashal HaKadmoni, which means the ancient parable. And Rashi writes on the spot, it's a parable of 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 HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma mikvah metaris atameim, just like a mikvah, is a pool of mems, of mayim, plurality of mems, which is the element of change, of transformation. Ma mikvah metaris atameim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we meet in Talmud Torah, is metaris Yisrael. So too, the act of Talmud Torah is a transformative experience where a person doesn't just engage their mind, but when a person actually submerges themselves, just like we do when we go into a mikveh, you have to, every single one pinky is out of the mikveh, that's it, you're not tahor. But when a person totally gives themselves over to a Torah, gives themselves completely over to a shir that they're in the middle of listening to, or gives themselves completely over to something that they're learning on their own. When a person is moser nefesh for Torah, it's the same nafshecha that the Sar Shalom was talking about. It's the same v'chol nafshecha, afilu hu notel es nafshecha. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes our soul, takes our breath away in the learning that we do, that act of giving over, of being moser nefesh for Torah, adam ki yomus ba'ohel, when a person dies in the tent, Chazal darshan that pasuk, which is talking about physical death, as a person who dies in the tents of Torah, a person who kills themselves over Torah, paradoxically enjoys it as well, right? It's important to enjoy it as well, we speak about that all the time. But there's a certain sense of self-sacrifice which is necessary when a person's studying Torah. This is the secret of the letter Mem. The 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe Rabbeinu went to go get the Torah. The 40 days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the world through the Mabul, brought it back to press the reset button. The 40 years that Am Yisrael spent in the Midbar. And the experience of each of us that we had in the first 40 days of Mayim Ba'alma until we eventually became a Vlad, the Gematria 40. The element of change, as Rav Shimshon, we'll come back to Rav Shimshon Paul Hirsch. That element which all formation of matter occurs in the fluid conditions of water, that element is what the letter Mem is all about. Mem, which is the womb, Mem, which is this embryonic fluid, is the experience of Talmud Torah. It's our ability to engage our minds and our hearts and every limb of our body, kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem mikamocha, all of our limbs, engaging in the experience of Talmud Torah, creates a brand new us. And what better way is there, to prepare for the holiday of Shavuos, and to understand that when we receive the Torah again every single year on Shavuos, not just remembering, oh yeah, remember Hashem gave us the Torah a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. Every single year when the holiday of Shavuos comes around, what we're doing is we're re-accepting the Torah again. We're having another experience of those days of preparation right now, so that when we come to that day of Torah, when we come to the day of Matan Torah, of receiving and being able to teach other people Torah, the holiday of Shavuos is the holiday where we receive Mayim. We receive something to quench our thirsts. Kol tzama l'chula Mayim. All those who are thirsty should go to drink. Like the Gemara says that for 3 days Am Yisrael were traveling around in the desert and they couldn't find water, and the Gemara says, Ein Mayim el Torah. It means that they were thirsty, they were parched, they needed Torah. And for that reason, we don't go 3 days without having Torah read publicly in our shuls. Between Monday and Thursday is 3 days. Between Thursday and Shabbos is not 3 days past. Never you go more than 3 days. Because in my Torah, because you can't live without Torah. Torah is the transitional experience of a Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that in the merit of the Torah that we're studying here tonight, we should have the great zchus of being able to mekabel the Torah anew, great fervor and hischachos. You know, it's a good thing that Shavuos comes. It's like you get this whole new, it's like you just plugged into a whole new energy source. HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews our relationship with Torah and the merit of the Torah that we're studying tonight, and we're trying to prepare in our own small way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should be able to go for a swim in the Yam of Torah, like Mirza Hashem, in preparation for next week. I'll just give you a little bit of a sneak peek. Like the fish of the sea, which Mirza Hashem will study next week, the letter Nun, which will be our final shir of the semester, of the year. And Mirza Hashem, you'll see the letter Nun is very much related to that idea of fish. In Aramaic, the word Nun means a fish. Nun is a fish, so we'll, Mirza Hashem will swim again next week. We'll see you then. Thank you.